as one who has been entrusted with the onerous responsibilities of guiding our young republic through these difficult times, I must confess that it is always a source of deep pleasure and encouragement to me to receive assurances of the support of the people and their continuing determination to persevere until complete victory is achieved.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome to yet another episode of the Biafra Fire Podcast. Straight off, I'll tell you that I can be reached on +614 690 59521. That's +614 690 59521. And if you live locally in Australia, that would be just simply 046905951. My email is juxtix@hotmail.com. So I can also be contacted through email. Now, this is a show where I try to give a roundup of the news as it concerns our Biafran agitation. And boy, oh boy, look, I'm just looking at the notes that I'm reading down here. And then the news from the Biafra Land section. The four things that I have noted down here are all bad news. All of them. Every single one of them is a bad news. Well, we'll get to that stage when I have to actually talk to you about the news and we'll have a closer look at it. But like, it just goes to show, doesn't it, how there's never or how there's rarely good news coming out of Nigeria. There's rarely good news. There's nothing positive, nothing at all. It's always this bad news, that bad news. It just gets overwhelming, doesn't it? It's very overwhelming. I know we all live very busy lives, but if you will, can you always make out time, please, please, and please, to listen to Radio Biafra? It's very informative, and it emboldens you. It shows you when you listen to it, you actually start to realize that this Biafra thing is a problem that we have to solve once and for all. Over 100 years of this entity called Nigeria, nothing, not one single thing has ever come out of it that it's good for Biafran. So listen to Radio Biafra so that you can keep in touch. You can phone in when you want, because I think they run a 24-hour program. There's always something informative for you to listen to. So please, please, please make out time to listen to it. Look, I want to focus briefly here on higher education in Nigeria, or the education system in Nigeria as a whole. Look, they are the obvious culprits. The issue of bad school buildings that are not suitable to stay or live in, not to talk of studying. There are no labs or sports facilities, no modern equipment for studying, poorly paid teachers and poorly trained teachers. And in higher education, especially in our universities, there is a very, very big imbalance of power between the students and the lecturers. Now, the lecturers have all the powers. You dare not talk back to them. You dare not question the course content. You dare not make a remark that will make them feel slighted, or you dare not question their intelligence, whether overtly or subtly. So it's like it's a one-way road where you have to take in whatever they're telling you, hook, like, and sinker, and just vomit it during the exam. There's no provision made for critical and independent thought. Now, this is bad. I'm focusing on the education sector because what is going on there, or whatever is going on there, affects greatly the rest of the society. So what if you have schedules, or if you have a curriculum, if you have a curriculum that is not world class, that is not up to the standard that is expected in the 21st century. Now, obviously, you're going to have workers that are not working to the standard that is expected in this century when they graduate. So there's a ripple effect, and it goes all across the whole setup. Now, you might say, how bad is this really? It's very bad because Facebook will never have been founded in Nigeria because sometimes some computer scientists have never seen a computer and are studying computer science in Nigeria. It's all theory and it's all 1980s rubbish, outdated and outmoded rubbish. So, how can this be fixed? Well, it's never going to be fixed as long as this entity called Nigeria remains together. Because you try to fix it, one section of the society, one tribe is going, well, you are going hard against the Minister for Education because he's a Muslim or because he's a Christian, and there will never be enough focus on the problem. There are bad schools, bad teachers, bad curriculums, and these problems are never, ever, ever, ever going to be addressed. So long as Nigeria is one, so long as Biafra is not realized. This is also good for the Nigerians because if Biafra comes, it's going to give everybody a clean slate. Let's say that the northern, for example, if the northern part of the country want to have a curriculum that inculcates religious education, the Muslim aspect of things, fine, that would be lovely. They can do it. If the Christians want to focus more on moral instruction along with biblical injunctions, if they want to focus more on science, whatever they want to do, they can do it. But so long as the curriculum is set centrally, so long as there is one person trying to set the curriculum for the whole of Nigeria, it is never, ever going to work. And this is important for us to note. When we're moving on now, I'll talk about the news coming out from Biafra. Fulani herdsmen with cows are running through Imo State. Now, I feel bad for Imo State, don't you? You should feel bad for Imo State. I mean, nothing good ever happens there. They have a governor in the person of Governor Rochas Okorocha who is foolish, who is stupid, who is a sellout, or as the Australians would say, a cop-out. And numerously, I've called for a complete mental health examination for Governor Rochas Okorocha because his decisions are so bad, they are so laughably bad that you begin to wonder, look, there might be something seriously wrong with him upstairs. So, in Imo State, the Fulani herdsmen are running through the streets. So the cars are having to give way to the cows. So the animals have joined human society, and this is what you see in that place called Imo State. Mado Bayegu Benjamin's health is failing. It's been reported. Remember, he was one of the guys that were detained within Nnamdi Kanu, and even when Nnamdi Kanu was freed, he was still detained. His health is failing. We don't have to forget him. We should not forget him. We have to remember that even though Nnamdi Kanu is the figurehead for this our agitation, that there are also some people who's giving down their liberty, who are fighting. So Madu Bayegu Benjamin is one of those people. We should remember him, we should talk about him, and we should protest in favor for his release. It is very important that we do so. Very, very important. The Islamic community in Nigeria, it's an umbrella body for the Muslims in Nigeria. They are protesting in Abuja about Donald Trump moving the USA embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. Now, you will think that this is a very distant problem that they have no business protesting over. But then again, I realize that it is important for them to stick up with other Muslims. But then again, why don't they protest against the poverty that they live in? Why don't they protest against the cesspool of incompetence and just sheer official rubbish, like the nonsense that they live in, all the indignities of poverty that they are subjected to? They wouldn't demonstrate, or they wouldn't be civilly disobedient. They will never protest about that. But they are protesting for someone in Palestinian, thousands of miles away. Of course, they will never protest about the Biafrans that are being gunned down. They will never protest about the increasing militarization of the Biafran streets. There's jet planes flying everywhere. Operation Python Dance is still in progress. There's military roadblocks everywhere. They won't protest about that. What a shame. And the devil, this is on quote, the devil is doing everything he can to destroy Nigeria. This is according to Governor Umahi. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Look, This idea of being too religious, being more Catholic than the Pope, and blaming devil for everything that goes wrong in Nigeria. Really, we should outgrow this. It's rubbish. It's nonsense. We are in the mess that we are in because we are corrupt and because we don't think. We are in the mess that we are in because we've become immune to hardness. We love poverty. We've embraced it. It's not because of the devil. The devil is fictitious, and the devil has nothing to do with the state of the African society, and more specifically, Nigerian and Biafran society. Our problems are man-made, and we should own up to that. In the news coming out of Africa, there's been a low voter, a very low 3% voter turnout for registrations ahead of the elections in the Anglophone section of Cameroon. Now they're doing the right thing. They don't want to be part of the rest of Cameroon, and they're saying, well, you can try to get us to register for the elections, but then we're just going to give you 3%. So, like, it's 3% of people registering. This is what I call civil disobedience. This is what I call making your voices heard, and that's the way to do it. Do not participate in the elections. Do not register to vote. And if you must, register in such numbers that are so abysmally low that it shows your discontent with the whole setup. Cameroon, Anglophones, they are separate. And by the way, they are killing them. The Cameroonian government is killing them in targeted killings, shooting them. Just why? Because they do not want to be a part of Cameroon. When will government realize that when people don't want to be a part of the country, you don't force them. You do not hold a gun to their head and say, be peaceful. That is not the way it works. People should be let go if they want to be let go. They should be free to form their own country. It's as simple as that. Islamist militants have killed 5 people in Mozambique. This problem of Islam. Well, I won't go there. I won't go there. But the Islamic militants have killed 5 people in Mozambique. The UN, the United Nations, are applying sanctions for people traffickers in Libya. A month ago, there was news that black people are being enslaved for yet another time, but this time by Libyans, and are being sold into modern day slavery. It's good to see the United Nations are stepping up and acting on behalf of people who do not have the voice to talk for themselves. Big kudos to them. And then some African referees has been filmed taking cash, obviously in exchange for favorable decisions during the game. It's the same story in Africa, isn't it? Bribery, corruption, war, disease, intolerance, backwardness, lack of education, lack of a health system, Ebola, and all the rest of it. And this is why we have to be free. This is why we have to have a country that will, for once in the history of Africa, be envied by the West. This is why we have to do that. This is why we have to fight for Biafra, make sure that we realize Biafra and set the standard and be looked up to. In the Nigerian Nonsense in Focus section, I will be talking briefly, just very briefly, about fiscal responsibility. And the question I want to ask is, can you ever have reliable and transparent budgets in Nigeria when you willingly refuse to account for the money that is lost to bribery and corruption? And the simple answer is no. Look, the quote of the day is this quote: "Those who deny freedom to others do not deserve it for themselves." That's from the great Abraham Lincoln. Those who deny freedom to others do not deserve it for themselves. Buhari does not deserve freedom for himself. He does not deserve liberty. And boy, will I be glad that the next time he wants to travel overseas for his checkup, that they're going to turn him back at the airport and tell him to go and fix the health system back home. See you next time.